Chapter 4. O me, O maestro. The last bell rings just as I leave the dorm the next day. Everyone floods to the common areas, probably to gossip about the trials. Word has spread fast, and now the whole school is buzzing about the competition. Trevor Thompson beams his toothpaste commercial smile and gives interviews to the student newspaper, the Mistwick Bugler. Phoebe's art club designs t-shirts emblazoned with our mascot, a snarling music cat that looks like Wink, Mrs. LaRue's pet. In between classes, kids I've never spoken to in my life wish me luck. I push my way through them to reach Harmony Hall, where, according to my note from the headmaestro, my composing class is to be held in room 713. I look up at the big building and frown. There are only 6 floors. So where's 713? After searching the building from top to bottom with no luck, an amused senior finally points me in the right direction, which leads up a long, creaky stairway. "It's in the attic?" I squeak.
"Good luck, Guppy."
He laughs before leaving me alone. I ascend slowly, positive that I've been pranked. But sure enough, at the top of the steps is a door with room 713 written on it in faded Sharpie. Like it's some third grader's secret clubhouse and not a real classroom at all. I knock, fully prepared to turn and flee down the stairs, depending on what answers the door. But nothing does. Slowly, I twist the knob, and the door opens to a dark, dusty attic, the ceiling arching cavernously above. All around, dark, vague shapes loom, and the air smells of old paper and dust. A spidery shiver crawls down the back of my neck. "Hello?" I whisper. No one answers, but I'm pretty sure that somewhere in the back of the attic, something scurries. I assemble my flute and play an illumination spell. If there are any working light bulbs in the attic, the magic should make them turn on. Soon, lights begin flickering on through the room. Not light bulbs, but candles. Sputtering flames dance uncertainly, as if they've been extinguished for so long they've forgotten how to burn. In the soft orange light, I see that the attic is even bigger than I'd thought. It must stretch the whole length of Harmony Hall, with no windows or other doors. Bare rafters hold up a pitched roof so high it feels like a cathedral, filmy with cobwebs. Everything is covered in a layer of dust. There are a few old desks set in front of a chalkboard, words still scrawled on it. Composing 101. My heart skips. This is a classroom, but one that's not been used for a long time. A few papers are tacked to a bulletin board on one wall. Half-finished spells. A magical classification chart. Instructions for what to do if you accidentally start a fire, unleash a flood, call down lightning, or create other magical disasters. It's all so old, the papers are turning yellow. I wander to a tall shelf packed with binders, notebooks, and folders. "Student compositions 1950 to 1952, I whisper, reading the spine of a leather folio. They're all labeled the same way, covering more than 100 years altogether, probably back to the day Mistwick was founded. My pulse jumps. Does that mean... I run my finger over the spines until I reach the years my mom would have been a student here. I find the folio at the very bottom of the shelf, the last in a long line. The notebook is brown, with the word composition stamped on the front in faded gold letters. The spine is worn from age and use. Sliding it out, I hold my breath as I let the pages fall open in my hands. A cluster of white candles on a nearby table provide just enough light to see that half the pages have been ripped out. On the inside of the notebook's cover, I find her name, Susan Jones, along with a doodle of music notes with little happy faces in them. The remaining pages have blank staff lines, waiting for notes to be penciled in. But the pages that were torn out had to have been used. Barest lines are visible where my mom pressed down hard with her pencil tip. Tiny, ghostly notes left behind. But the actual spells she composed are gone, leaving only jagged edges. Where? Did she take them with her? Or did someone steal them? Oh, let me have a peek, says a syrupy voice behind me. I do love a good snoop. My soul jumps out of my body and lands somewhere around Neptune. Slamming the book shut, I whirl around to see a woman perched on the desk behind me, grinning like a Cheshire cat. Who are you? I stammer. Where did you come from? She's tall and dark-skinned, with a pile of graying dreadlocks towering precariously atop her head, and layers upon layers of flowing clothes in several clashing prints, zebra, floral, tie-dye, polka dots, all over a t-shirt that reads, Peace, Love, Music Craft. Heavy beaded necklaces and bracelets clack when she moves. She looks like she ran full tilt through a clothing rack and came out wearing whatever stuck. On her collar glitters a golden maestro pin. Hmm, she says, closing her eyes and tilting her head, as if listening to a spell I can't hear. Who am I? Who am I? Today, yes. Today I am a crane, regal and swooping, alighting upon this earth with wings full of the sun. I blink, take a step back. And who are you? She asks, opening her eyes to peer at me with intense curiosity. I'm Amelia? You seem unsure of that. Good. An excellent start. Question everything. Let go of the past. Fling yourself into a pool of infinite possibilities. You're my new maestro? She raises her arms, stretching them gracefully away from her body. Maestro, student, those words are so limiting. There is much for me to learn, isn't there? And much for you to teach. Now, my dear. She presses her hands together. Tell me what you are. Not your name. No labels. Psh. We're moving beyond all that. Go on, girl. Tell me what you feel you are. I'm confused. Honest. Yes, I like that. What else? What emotions can you harness like wild horses in the wind? For what is music but emotion? And what is emotion if not power? Power? I feel anything but powerful right now. My head is still spinning, trying to figure out how she crept up on me. The woman bursts up in an explosion of colorful fabrics and rushes to the chalkboard, flipping it over. The reverse side is blank. My name, she says, scrawling with the chalk, is Matilda Mott. And you are here to forget everything you have learned. The first and only rule of composing is that here, rules don't apply. I raise a finger, 100 questions crowding my brain, but she rushes on, still scribbling with her chalk. Composing is feeling, and feeling is power. So let's dig deep. Let's unearth the ugliest and best parts of you and set them free. We are here to crack you open, Amelia Jones, and let power ooze out. Crack me open? Like a coconut. She laughs so loudly, spiders scurry for cover. Holy buck. My composing maestro is terrifying. Aha, cries Miss Mott, stepping back from the chalkboard to reveal that she's drawn a rather terrible picture of, well, me, I guess. There's curly hair sprouting from my head in all directions. One arm is way longer than the other, and my legs end in jumbled scribbles rather than feet. But there's no mistaking the flute in my hand or the freckles she dots onto my face with an exaggerated flourish. Amelia Jones, she murmurs, tapping her chin with chalk as she studies her artwork, leaving little white smudges on her dark skin. After a moment, she shoots me a sideways look and whispers, You should know. I've never actually taught anyone before. Oh, I say weakly. She extends the chalk toward me. Go on. Write what you are. Show me who Amelia Jones is. I take the chalk uncertainly and step toward the board, then turn back to her. The thing is, Miss Mott, there are these trials coming up. Maybe you heard about it? See, I kind of need to compose a super awesome spell and...
Yes?
She dashes her hand through the air, eager.
I see. Good. Write it down.
What?
Eager. An excellent word. Write it down.
Okay. I scribble the word on the board.
Yes, yes. Give me more. What are you?
Amelia Jones. I think a moment, then write flutist and girl. Like that? Miss Mott clicks her tongue.
No, no, not labels. Write down what you feel.
Exasperated, I write confused.
Superb, says Miss Mott. Go on.
Okay, then. I add excited and nervous and hopeful, and she practically swoons.
Yes, Amelia, yes. In composing, emotions are everything. They are your power, your inspiration, your magic. There is no spell on this earth that was not composed out of love or envy or rage.
But then, you should know this already. She smiles.
You've composed before.
Yeah, I guess.
So tell me, what did you feel when you composed the spell to summon your mother's ghost?
You know about that? Well, I guess it was sadness, I say softly. Her smile fades, her eyes brimming with empathy.
Grief can be powerful indeed.
So, that's it? The whole secret to composing is just to feel something? She spreads her hands wide.
Exactly! An A-plus for you, Amelia Jones. Congratulations on passing your first composing class.
Ha! Huh.
This teaching thing is easier than I thought. And to think my sister was worried I would be too scatterbrained for the job.
Ha! Huh. She picks up the wooden pointer leaning against the chalkboard and thumps the floor with it.
Hear that, Euphonia? I can teach.
Mrs. LaRue is your sister? I asked. It's hard to imagine the serene, dignified headmaestro of Mistwick having any family. She seems so timeless, like one of the statues of the famous composers erected all over the campus.
My baby sister, says Miss Mott with a wink, by 5 years. A fact she likes to forget. Now, I suppose that's it for us today, so...
Wait, that's it? That can't be it. I have so many questions. Are there books I should be reading? Composers I should study? And what about the trials? Everyone's counting on me to have a spell ready.
Hmm. You're probably right.
She strokes her lip.
Ah, of course.
She begins pulling open drawers in the desk, sorting through sticks of broken chalk, old conductor's batons, a broken metronome, chunks of resin, until finally she lets out a shout and produces a slim notebook bound in black leather. After flipping through it, she nods and pushes it into my hands. The pages inside are all blank staff lines waiting to be filled with music.
Every composer should have a blank page ready at all times, says Miss Mott. A stray thought could wander through your head at any moment, and you must be ready to pin it to the page.
Smiling, I clutch the notebook to my chest. My own composition book, just like my mom had. It makes me feel a little bit more like a real composer.
Your homework, says Miss Mott, is to listen, to breathe, to dream. No thought is too insignificant to be written down. Remember, true inspiration comes not from here,
she taps my forehead,
but from here.
Her finger moves to my heart. I nod vigorously. I'll get started on some melodies right away. She gives me a bemused look.
Melodies? Oh, no, no, child. I don't want you to write down music.
Huh?
Emotions, Amelia.
She pats my cheek.
Record your emotions, your feelings, big and small. The music, pah, the music is just notes and sound. But the emotions, those are everything. Those are what the music must flow from. Those are your power.
right, I murmur. So, you don't actually want me to compose? She blows out a breath, then gives a little weary laugh.
I suppose there might be more to teaching than I thought. Well, never mind. It's only day one, and we have plenty of time. Go on now, flutter away, my butterfly. Record your feelings. Listen to your heart.
I nod as if I understand. I really, really don't. But then, this is Mistwick, after all. What else is new?